Amen. And it's a very interesting story that I think many of us have read over and over. And every time I read that story, it's very, very interesting. But before we even get to the story itself, we're looking at a new month and therefore looking at a new theme. I think we have it up there. So if you all can, you know, read it with me, everybody, let's go. It says what? Putting perspective in our pursuit. Let's do it again. Putting perspective in our pursuits. Now, like last theme that we were looking at, backlog, breaking down backlog, the key word we're looking at for this series is the word perspective. That's the key word that we're going to be looking at. Putting perspective in our pursuit. And I'm hoping and praying that all of us will continue to run spiritually our will in such a way that we are not clogged up. And that's how we grow, that we take something from what we learn and then we apply it to life. So this applies not just to the adults, it applies to children. Perspective simply is looking at things in the proper sense, in the way it properly means. Perspective is comparing something to another. Perspective is taking a view of importance of what you're doing compared to what you are investing in it. If somebody tells me, for example, that I need to spend 5 hours every day lifting weight, that's 5 hours of my day and a lot of sweat and energy. Amen? Now, I want to ask, in the end, after spending 5 hours every day lifting weights, for how long? Maybe for a week or for a month or something, what do I get from it? Because the 5 hours I'll be spending weightlifting is 5 hours that I'm not spending somewhere else. Is that right? Because I cannot be spending 5 hours in weightlifting and being somewhere else at the same time. So down the road, when I look at that time that I have spent, what would be the benefit of doing that? If your goal is to be the strongest man or strongest woman in the city, that's a whole different story. And some will do that just to have, you know, strength, and they have, you know, all those, you know, they call it six packs, right? And all of that stuff, so that they can look puff and all of that. So everybody will look at them and go, whoa. I mean, if that's your goal in life, then it's worth 5 hours every day lifting weight. But if not, you want to ask yourself, could I be doing something different? I would think that the experience we have had in coronavirus, and thank God he has saved us. I'm waiting for an amen for that. I say he has saved us. Amen. I say he has saved us. Amen. It is the fact that we can look at that perspectively and look at life. Now, many of us perspectively can now say, I value freedom. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? Some people now appreciate the fact that you can get up in the morning, jump in the shower, and then go out. When we're locked up in the house for how many months, at a point it became boring. Was it boring for anybody? To just wake up and sit down. In the process, many of us learned the value of clothes compared to life. Many of us didn't wake up thinking of the next style of clothes. We just thought of what? How to make it alive to the next day. So all the expensive clothes and the nice shoes to match and all the jewelry became nothing. Are you getting the picture? You don't need those things. You just hope, just let me survive. So if anyone invited you in the middle of that pandemic and asked you to come shopping, how many would have gone? Nobody would buy, the stores were closed. So perspective now tells them, listen, this one here is more important than this. Somebody said, Elaine, that because of this, relationships are more important than popularity. Yes, I have somebody I can talk to. I have somebody that I can spend time with. Some of us were forced to spend time with people that we didn't spend time with before. For some, it brought them together. But for others, it increased the anger and the frustration, and violence began to take place. Perspective. So friends, here we are going to be looking at this subject and look at the Word of God. And for you boys and girls, both those of you who are in church, again, I'm very proud of you for coming. Thank God for your parents that released you. And those of you who are at home, does that apply to you? Of course, yes, it does. So really, what I'm going to be talking about, hopefully in the next amount of time that we have and continuing later on, is this, friends. We want to be looking at how important are the things that I'm spending my time and energy on compared to all of eternity. How vital are the things that I'm dying for when I put that in perspective with what the Word of God really says? How important. Everybody, let's start with Scripture. I'm looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse number 1 to 2, and I'm talking number 1, importance of time. If you have it up there, those of you who are up there, can you please put that up on the screen for us? Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse number 1. Thank you very much. Everybody in church, please read. Those of you online, you might have to pull out your own Bible and read from there. But everybody in church, let's read together. 1, 2, go. There is an appointed time for everything. And there's a time for every event under heaven. Don't move here, don't move here. Some of you didn't read. I want you to read it. Everybody, let's do it again. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for everything under heaven. So, perspectively, am I spending appropriate time for appropriate things? Because the scripture says here, there's time appointed for what? Say it again. Time appointed for what? Good. So everything in life has its own time, which means that as a Christian, I need to look at all my life, and the Bible says there's time for it. And as you read further, you will notice the man broke it down, which we don't have time to do. Give me verse number 2. I think we will stop and move on to another one. Everybody read now. A time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. So are you seeing it? Which means if I don't plant, talk to me somebody, there'll be nothing to reap. So perspectively, the Word of God is saying, watch what I'm doing now. Because what you are spending time on now will yield fruit later. So if you let me use another word, is that life is sowing and reaping. Say that everybody, say life is sowing and reaping. Okay, all the adults, please be quiet. We have our children in the house. All of you children, say life is sowing and reaping. You understand what that means? When you plant something, that thing will grow and you will get a result from it. So it's critical, even for those of us who are going back to school Those of us going to be doing remote learning or combined learning or whatever those professional languages, to understand that as you go to school, there is a time for everything. Let me hear all the children say there's a time for everything. Say louder. No, Maya, you're not a child. Your son can say it, but not you. All the children say there's a time for everything. Okay, say that at the top of your voice. Say there's a time for everything. Great. You know what that means? If you go to school and you are not learning, and you are playing instead, you are spending your time wrongly. Do you understand? School is for learning. Let me hear the children say that. School is for what? So there's a time for everything that applies to us as grown-up and it applies to you as children. So don't take the time for learning, spending that time on watching something on your telephone or doing, what do they call it again? Facebook and WhatsApp and all of those things. That's not the time for it. So children and adults, for us adults, I want to just mention it. Part of what is happening in this season requires the attention of parents to support their children. So parents need to be able to carve out time to support their children in this new normal that we're in. Is that going to be easy? Of course not. But if you are cognizant of the fact that children will not remain children, if you don't spend the appropriate time now, later on, time is not one of those things that you can put away in storage. You know how sometimes we have too many things in our home sometimes, and then you look for a storage and go and put some of them in there? Time is not one of those things. I remember just a few days ago, Maya was bringing Elisha and carrying him. Now, as soon as she opens the car, he jumps out by himself. And he's running all over the place. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. He's no more at that level. Now he's at a level where he can do things by himself. And before you know it, we'll be praying for Elijah. He's going away to college. And you'll be like, really? Yeah. You'll pray for Wuna, Malik, yes. Zahara, yes. Alexis. I'm all going to college. It's a thing out here. My babies were all starting to grow up. And now you're like, really? You're in college already? Yeah. Everybody say time. Say it again. This is so critical. So living your life in perspective is critical. Let me give you another scripture. Ephesians chapter 5. Importance of time is what we just looked at in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Number two, we're looking at how to manage time. What the Bible says we should do in managing time. Quickly, let's read through Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 17. Everybody reading. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Next verse. It said, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Hold it there. I didn't hear you read, so I'm going to stop. Everybody read now. One, two, go read it for me, please. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. So children, at home and online, or and in church, whichever is correct. Okay? He says you should make the most of your what? Make the most of your what? Which means you can waste time. So that's what I'm saying, don't waste time. Talk to your neighbor, say neighbor. You see, time is not one of those, like I said, that you can put in a story. Say, if I waste time today, tomorrow, no. But if that's one of those things that God gave us that places all human beings at the same level. whether you are black or you're white, you are pink or red, whether you're a billionaire, a multi-billionaire, or just barely surviving, every day you wake up, God gives all of us exact equal amount of time, 24 hours. You can't say, no, I have money, I'm back 2 more hours. No. It is 24 hours every day for everybody. Now hear me well. You see, those that are making use of their time well, they progress, they advance. And we're wondering, but how? We live in this place together. How come he is there now and I'm sitting here? Somebody say time. When you use your time well, you will make progress. Kiden, are you hearing me? Okay. I don't need to come and lay hands because I'm not laying hands. Kiden, are you hearing me? Again, are you hearing me? Okay. There's a book, I don't remember the details of it, but I think Nova read it, and I think I had a little bit of the summary of it. That title of the book is called The Order Works More. Remember that book? If you don't have it, those of you in high school, go to college, please Google that book, read it. The Order Works More. There were two of them saying, nay. If I get it wrong, don't criticize me. I didn't read it, but I got the summary of it, kind of. But the end of the story, really, what is important was the fact that one was more became a success, the other one became a derelict. One became a multi-popular person, and the other one is a beggar on the street. Same background, same opportunity. One used it, the other did not. So one ended up successful. The other ended up on the street. Somebody said time. Say it again. Time. Friends, we've seen this again and again. I read another story about two classmates. They were classmates in high school. One dropped out of school after high school, didn't go anywhere anymore, didn't learn a job, didn't do anything else, ended up on the street, drugs and all the other stuff. The other went to school and became a lawyer, and if I became a judge. One day, the one that dropped out of school committed crime, Mr. Smoke, and was arrested and was to face the judge. Got to court, guess who the judge was? Talk to me again. Guess who the judge was? Somebody say time. So this one saw him and called the name and broke down and said, what are you doing here? We were classmates in high school. Somebody say time. So friends, it's not just for the adults, but it's up for all of us. So children, you go to school, sit up, pay attention. Excuse me. Because what you do today with your time will determine where you are tomorrow. We're going to pray for you. We're going to support you. But you heard me say in this church, God is not a magician. Have you ever said that before? God doesn't do magic. You just flip your hand, money comes out. Now, God doesn't do that. God blesses the labor of your hands. You, the adult, me, the adult, what are you doing now with your time? Are you spending it? Oh, I work. I understand. I have 10 jobs. Okay. What are you neglecting by paying so much attention to the just that? I need to pay my bills. I hear that. We will have bills to pay. What is happening to your spirit, man? Are you feeding your spirit, man? Are you devoting the same time? Because you cannot say, well, after I have amassed all the wealth and paid all my bills here, then I come back and be growing spiritually. You will never finish paying the bills. Oh, did I just say that right?
That's right.
Do you all agree? The more bills you pay, the more there will be to pay. So you just need to learn to think, what is what again? Perspectively. You just learn to think and live your life the way you should, because what you neglect today, you might need that money to pay for it. And it will not be enough. Those of you adults who don't spend time with your children, you don't spend time with your family because you're always working. Or you don't just want to be bothered. You are in the house, but your children don't know you and you don't know your children. Okay. I'm not going to leave it. I'm going to talk about it. Friends, you don't learn to build relationship. If you don't build relationship with your children, if you don't build relationship with your wife or your husband, you will cry alone tomorrow. Pastor, you cursing me? No, I'm not. I'm not. Scripture, friends. Scripture. Somebody say perspective. You don't talk to your children don't talk to you. And you're okay with it? Really? Oh, they're living their own life. I'm living my own. Really? You see, nobody, out of all those people who had problems with coronavirus, those last minute, one of the things I heard again and again and again, that was the most heartbreaking, was that most of them died alone. Many of them had families that wanted to be there. But because of the situation, there's nothing worse than in the dying moment of somebody's life, by yourself. Nobody wants to be there. Somebody say perspective. So whatever you're doing now, think perspectively. Because in the end, it's going to show up. So you come to church, you hear me online, you hear me at home, think perspectively. It's critical. It's so critical. Somebody you need to go reconcile with, do it today. Because it's important. You know, people that want to be left alone. I'm like, what does that mean? You're working and earning money. And nobody around you knows what you earn. Nobody who knows what you do with it. And nobody dare ask you for it. How are you a human being here like that? How? Somebody said perspective. But when there's something going on in your life, you want people to support you? That's why when people talk marriage, for example, going off on a tangent, but I think people don't understand what relationship is. They don't understand what marriage is. They don't understand what family is. Don't. Don't. Friends, okay, let me say this. I said it before. Say it again. Let me see if I can cover the 2 points that I want to cover from what Jesus said in that story. Ooh, working on the remaining ones next time. Time in scripture has two words. I want to say two words. I told you here before, but I want you to write it down just in case you forgot. So if you don't write, you're going to remember everything. That's great. Children, are you listening to me? I want you to write this down. If you have not written it down, write this down. There are two words the scripture uses this kind of time. One is chronos. I would say chronos. Say it again. One is chronos. Chronos is the calendar month. Like today is the 6th, is that right? Tomorrow is going to be the 7th. Then by the time we get to the end of the month, it's going to be, what's the month? Is it 30 days or 31? You understand what I'm saying? That's chronos. That's where you get the word chronology from. The other word that the scripture uses for time is kairos. Everybody say kairos. Talk to me, someone. Say kairos. Kairos is a window. Everybody say window. That's where the root word of opportunity comes from. Kairos says, for example, church begins at 11 o'clock and we close at 1. Is that right? That's kairos. So if you show up at 2 o'clock and the door is locked, and you call somebody and say, I thought this is your church. You say, yes. I showed up for church, your door was locked. What did you say? Why? You missed the window. You missed the kairos. Are you getting the point? If you showed up at 9 a.m. and the door is locked and you are blending, but you guys have a signboard here saying this is your church. Yeah. But what does it say? It said this is between 11 and 1. Are you getting it? That's kairos. So children, listen to me. There's an age you're supposed to be in grade school. Make use of that age. And when you are done, there's an age you're supposed to move on to high school. If you use the time well, when it's time to go to college, you'll be moving on. Did you hear me? I cannot be 50 years old and be looking for admission into high school. They'll be like, what do you say you want to do? High school, how old are you again? 50. I just woke up. Yeah, I just discovered I need to go to school. Of course, there are a few examples like that. But that's not normal. Are you following me? So both adults and children, there's what is called a kairos moment. Is a moment of opportunity. Give me verse number 16 again. Let's look at it and we're going to move on quickly. Ephesians 5. Everybody read. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. Give me the next one. Let's verse. So then, do not be foolish. I'm not calling anybody foolish. I'm reading what scripture says. Is that right? Okay, read it, everybody. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is still talking about the same thing. Remember, I taught you content and context. Okay, great. Still talking about using time, living in these days rightly. Anybody who's not using their time properly is living like a fool. Pastor, you said that. No, I didn't. Bible said. So whatever you and I need to correct, whatever we need to set in order, you sleep your life away on a Sunday morning so you can go to work on Monday? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Oh, you are tired on a Sunday. But on Monday, you can get up and go to work. So who gives you the life to do that? So you take God's time to sleep. So he can stand aside and let you have fun the rest of the day, and you think that's all right? You show up when it's convenient for you. Spending the time you're supposed to spend for God, doing some other things, and if somebody talks to you, you say, don't judge me. No Nobody's judging you. Friends, no. No one's judging you. It's just that if you don't do what you need to do at the appropriate time, you're missing something. And remember, it is sowing. Talk to me. And say it again. It is sowing. Because it's going to show up. The fruit will be ready for harvest at some point. And you can't say, well, I'm not ready for this harvest. No, you planted it. You planted it. You reap it. You have no choice. Children, talking to you especially. Adults, I'm talking to myself as well. Perspective living says that I need to be aware of what I'm doing now. Because it's going to show up later. So friends, Jesus had this encounter. John chapter 9. Verse number 1 to 3, we can take that and cover that. John 9, everybody read it. He passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, next verse. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he will be blind? Give me next verse. And the scripture now said, this is what Jesus answered. It was neither that this man sinned, nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed. One of the points, one of the lessons from here is that Jesus wants us to focus on solution and not on blaming. Okay, say it again, everybody. Say, focus on solution and not on blaming. You know how we look at somebody who is having a problem, whatever that problem is, and we're going in. Why is he in that problem? Amen. Maybe he did this or he did that. Oh, because of this and because of that. What's the word? It's a big language they use. I think it's prognostication. Don't prognosticate. Amen. Okay, within the Christian language, we say prophesying, right? Or guessing. Or blaming, which is what these people were doing. Maybe it is because his dad did that. His mom did that. That's why he was born. No, he was born blind. Now, what you should be asking is, what can I do to help him? If you know the reason for his blindness, what would I do to you? Amen. If you know the reason for his blindness, how would I help him? Or you know the history. Okay. Yeah. So it was your parents that did that to you. Sorry. See you later. And you walk away. So how has that happened? Friends, Jesus is teaching us here to focus on the solution and not on blaming people and not on the problem. Because there will always be a problem. We live in days and age, and there's always going to be a problem. So God has placed us here as solution carriers. What solution are you going to position yourself to provide? You see, we live in a day and age where things are changing. And you know that people have become multi-millionaires as a result of COVID. Some of you are wearing designer masks now. Yes, sir. You buy them online, $5, $6, $2, whatever that is. Somebody just sat down and took advantage. Designer mask. And you're spending money on it, and they're going rich. They're not looking at the problem, but they're trying to find a solution. And that solution moves them from joblessness up on the financial level. So if you're looking for problem, look for problem with an eye of what can I do about it. Amen. Okay. I think I'm boring a little bit, but just say amen, please. Amen. Okay, good. I know you're here. Children, you go to school, you're doing online, or you're doing a remote, or you're doing a combined. Teacher tells you to do something, and it's hard, and you cry, and you don't do it. Maybe everybody say, don't do that. Say it again, don't. School is supposed to be hard. Did you all hear me? Yes. It's supposed to be hard, yeah. Some of us ran away from hard classes, though. And we discovered that running away didn't solve the problem. Because you still meet that issue somewhere. So sit down and learn it. Somebody's laughing because they know what I'm talking about. Yeah. There's some classes, I told you my story, I don't have a lot of time, but in college, one of the classes I didn't like was math. Did I tell you that before? I didn't want to do math. I was supposed to do it, college math, and pass it. Because I was in a program, that's a Bachelor of Science degree program that I was in. And there was no way in the world you could get a Bachelor of Science degree without passing math. I didn't want to do it. First year, I didn't sign up for math. Second year, I didn't do it. Third year, I did not do math. Because I had the option. Fourth year, I showed up in the registrar's office and said, right here, put a big circle on it. Math. I realized, yeah, gotta do it. You don't do it, you cannot graduate. Said, are you kidding? Said, no, I'm not kidding. If you don't do math and pass it, no graduation. I prayed all the tongues and knew how to pray the word. It didn't change it. I had to sign up for math. But thank God for mercy. I copied every note. I never took as much note in any class like I took in math. I probably remember when the days when I was in college, it was the days of cassettes. Remember those cassettes? I bought a cassette recorder. I never did it in any class. I sat in the front seat. Generally, I don't sit in front. I sat in the front seat. I recorded every word the professor said. I took it home. I played it again. I prayed over every line. In the end, they gave me a C. I was excited. It was one of my lowest grades, but give me a C, man. Thank you. Just let me graduate. Amen. Tell your neighbor, don't let pastor.
Don't like that.
Friends, we're closing. I'm going to pray. But hear me, friends. Problems are not there to stop you. Problems should be stepping stones. We're going to pick up from here next week because I'm intentional about this. We're going to call it. But I want you to hear what God is saying. There's a future for you. And everybody say there's a future for me. God has a future for every one of us. But sometimes some of us are looking for the easy way out. There's no success there. And the second thing I have said today is the fact that you cannot live an imbalanced life, spending time and money on one aspect of your life and neglecting others. You need to learn to live a life in perspective, a life balance, because what you do today will show up tomorrow somewhere. And I pray in the name of Jesus that as we continue to build our relationship, develop in our lives, and do what we need to do, we will receive the mighty hand of God upon our lives. No relationship is too far gone that cannot be mended if we're willing to walk ahead. Nothing is impossible with God. That's what the Bible says. If we are willing to work at it. Please stand and we're going to pray. I'm going to pick up from here next week. The Holy Spirit let me do that. Amen. Everybody stand. We're praying. I want you to talk to God yourself quickly. What has God said to you before we do communion? Our children, this one here, we're going to pray for them now as well. And then we'll be on our way out. Go ahead, talk to God. Talk to God. Talk about perspective. That's what we're talking about today. As the Holy Spirit will help you to live a life in proper perspective. As that God will help you. If there's anything in your life that needs to be mended, anything in your life that needs to be changed, anything in your life that needs to be altered, the way you live your life that you need to change, I don't need you to come tell me. I want you to talk to God about it. Go ahead, you're praying now. Go ahead, you're praying. Go ahead, you're praying. Please don't close your mouth. This is about you and God and your future. This is about me and God and my future. If you know somebody who needs help in changing their life, focusing and living a life in the right perspective, pray for them as well. Go ahead, talk to God. Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Lord Jesus, we bless your name today. Thank you for the privilege of being able to share your word. Thank you for the privilege of being able to fellowship. We magnify you, Lord God. None of us shall fall out, Lord God Almighty, of your plan and your will and your purpose for us. In the name of Jesus, we come against the life, Lord God, that is lead, Lord God Almighty, carelessly. We pray that you will help us to be the men and women that live life in perspective to what you have planned for us, to the glory and the excellence of your mighty name. That we're not lopsided, we're not one-sided. We're not just thinking about ourselves alone, but thinking for every aspect that you want us to think about. Do it and receive the glory. We bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I mean, everybody shout it out, amen. Want to pray for the children? All the children come right here, quickly. All adults, you're just going to walk with me here. We're going to just stretch out our hands and pray for them. The children who are going to school. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Just come right here. We're just going to stretch forth our hands and pray for them. Elijah, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Thank you, all adults. You're all standing, so please stretch forth your hands. Just everyone stretch forth your hands and begin to pray for them. We're going to use this one as a point of contact for the children who are at home. Begin to cover them. Begin to cover them with the blood of Jesus. Let's declare that their body, their spirit, their soul is aversive to coronavirus or any form of disease. Somebody pray, open your mouth and pray. Cover them with the blood of Jesus. Cover them with the blood of Jesus. Declare safety for them, that they will go to school in peace and return in joy. Pray that the mighty hand of God will be upon their mind, that their mind will work well. Pray against distraction. Pray against attraction. Pray against any influence of the devil in any and every way in their lives. Cover them with the blood of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I declare over every one of these children, using them as a point of contact for all of my children at home and different medias, Lord God Almighty, in this service, we declare by the word of God, I declare a supernatural covering over you in the name of Jesus. I declare you are covered in the body. You are covered in your soul. And your spirit man is covered in the name of Jesus. I declare that the shield of the Lord becomes your protection in your going out and your coming in the name of Jesus. I declare the wisdom of God to be your portion. The Bible speaks of Daniel and his friends that when they were tested, after abstaining from eating the food that comes from the king's table, the Bible said they were 10 times better than all their mates. I declare over every child from Rock Foundation, whatever grade you are in, you will excel. You will excel. You will excel. You will excel in the name of Jesus.